New York.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York. It's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. For me, you're bound for the best.
And a very good evening to everybody. This is Emmanuel Goldstein. The program is Off the Hook, and this is our special feedback edition. Yes, we'll have a fair amount of that, and also listener feedback as well, and all kinds of other fun, exciting things on this program about high technology, abuses of civil rights, and all kinds of other things that are related to the very same. Interesting program before this, all about how shooting a stop sign could be an act of terrorism if Clinton has his way. Well, you look askance, Fiber. You don't think that's...
Shooting a stop sign?
Shooting a stop sign, yes, because you're using a weapon to do something... That a weapon, I guess, is not intended to do. I don't know.
Isn't it one of our inalienable rights to be able to shoot a stop sign?
Well, in some Western states, you would find that train of thought, but I don't know. We're moving to some sort of a society where you can just be held responsible for things that you never intended to do for long periods of time. Like our colleague Bernie S., still in prison right now, and maybe we'll hear from him tonight, too. I hope so. We'll be updating people on that, as well as other things that have been going on. You've been reading the newspapers recently?
Which newspapers?
Well, any newspaper, really, but preferably things like The Times, you know. Newspapers designed for people who know how to read, you know, that kind of thing.
I usually avoid the paper.
You do?
Just for that reason, yeah.
Oh, well, okay.
It's dangerous.
Won't get into that, then. In the paper this week, though, there was an article about new 3.5-inch floppies. Have you heard about them?
New
3.5. Well, they are new to people like us. Yes, they can hold 120 megs on a 3.5-inch floppy.
I read about this years ago in Byte magazine.
Well, here it is in on page D5 of yesterday's Times. It costs 20 times the amount, but it's 80 times the capacity, and it's backwards compatible too. So that's going to change things quite a bit. Walk around with the floppy; it's basically the same thing as a whole system of the past.
Well, let me guess: it's that whole multi-layer titanium oxide deal.
Yeah, sort of like that. Now, we have an interesting website, too. Well, first of all, let's talk about our website, and then we'll get into some of the websites that we've wandered into over the past week. Actually, I'll let you have these pages, and I'll just keep the last page.
Is this our breaking news?
Well, yeah, sort of like breaking news. Okay, you take that.
Okay.
I'll keep this.
Yes, sir.
Now, we mentioned the website we were starting up last week, and we did start it up. We started up a little bit late, a few hours late, because of technical problems, but it went up all the same. It's our special Secret Service page on the 2600 website, which is devoted to news and information about the Secret Service, sort of like their homepage, except that our homepage has, how shall I say, a different tone to it. Where we're kind of, I guess, skeptical of their motives and the things they do in their day-to-day lives. We have on that website, which can be reached at www.2600.com/secret, I like the Slash part. Sounds nice and fierce. We're slashing the secrets, I guess, is the best way to say that. Yeah. I can hardly wait till somebody comes up with a webpage, you know, a commercial person, Slash Price. Yeah, we're slashing the prices on our webpage.
And leave off the last S for
savings. Right. but anyway, our Slash Secret page has all the information on there that the Secret Service said was proof that somebody was not a terrorist, but a danger to society. It's one step away from a terrorist. But information such as frequencies, the names and addresses of offices around the country, code names. You know, President Clinton is called Eagle. What's his code name?
Eagle?
Eagle.
Really?
The Eagle has landed, they say, when he sits down. And various things like that. There's all kind. What's Hillary again? Hillary. I forgot what her name is. Her nickname is the same name as the company that owns the new KTU radio station on the FM dial. It's a big corporate name. So if somebody out there has access to the web, maybe they can call, access it, look up what Hillary is, and get back to us, because I forgot what Hillary was. I just know it's the same thing as that entity that owns the radio station there. It's a big national concern, as Hillary is, too. So we have all that information on there. We have all kinds of other things, including cases such as the Secret Service versus Steve Jackson, which we started reporting on here back in 1990. And it goes all the way up to where Steve Jackson won his lawsuit against the Secret Service a couple of years later. That's all on there. Also, the Pentagon City Mall incident is on there as well, and all kinds of other neat things. We even have a few pictures. You've seen it, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Been looking around there myself a couple times, looking for various interesting things to comment on. We've gotten about 4,500 hits last I checked in the past few days. I checked last night, actually, so it's probably a bit more than that right now. So that's the news, and we're still here, so we haven't been shut down yet. They haven't gotten to us. But all this information is completely legal, just a bit risky in this day and age, but we figured we had to do something to get the word out about what's happening with Bernie S. Being locked up in prison all this time because of similar things. And who knows how many other people are out there who don't have a voice, who don't have a way of reaching out to people. So that's some of what we've been doing. Now, this other secret webpage that we have. Well, it's not really secret, although the URL for it is kind of hard to remember. Maybe you could read that to us first, and then we'll,
okay,
we'll take it from there. It's printed on the top of the page.
You point your web browser to 164.117.147.223/tilde-nc-pp/html/gets.htm.
I think I got all that.
Yeah, okay. But, so what is this website? You might ask yourself.
I'm asking it right now. What is that website?
Actually, this website is related to that infamous 710 area code that we mentioned a few weeks back. And that 710 phone number that we announced over the year. That 710-NCS-GETS phone number.
Well, which 710 number is that? I don't seem to remember actually calling that number. So I think maybe we should call it again just to see what it actually does. But before I do that, I have to find an access code to dial out. So continue with your story.
Okay.
I'll look for that.
Basically, there's this website all about GETS. And GETS, as we may have mentioned, was the Government Emergency Telecommunications Service. And it's a service offered by the Office of the Manager of the National Communications System, hence the NCS is the first three digits of the phone number.
And this is a system that's designed to be used in the event of an actual emergency.
Yes. I guess after you hear that funny tone on your television or radio,
yeah,
people would start using this network.
Well, they're doing away with that system, by the way. They're
really?
Come up with a different system, the emergency alert system or something like that. I don't quite know what it is yet, but as soon as we find out, we'll let people know, you know, before you actually hear one of those emergency alert tones, one of the new ones.
Yeah.
So, actually, can I have that page for a second?
Sure.
I just want to read something to the people.
The slogan.
Yeah, you know that you are in good shape when the emergency phone system has a catchy slogan.
Yeah.
And that catchy slogan is, And remember, this is called GETS. GETS, which is the Government Emergency Telecommunication Service. When the going gets tough, GETS keeps you going. We'll be hearing a lot of that when the nuclear age dawns.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, what do we got?
So, basically what GETS is supposed to do is, of course, in the event of an actual emergency, one would dial the GETS access number, which is that 710-NCS-GETS.
Okay, let's get ourselves a dial tone here, and we're going to dial that number right now. That's 1-710. What's the number, Fiber?
NCS.
NCS?
GETS.
NCS GETS results. But right now it gets a tone, which means I've got to dial a special authorization code. Here we go. Nothing's happening.
Please re-enter your PIN number.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
I must have messed up.
Was that you or them?
No, that's us.
Okay.
Sure. That's the BAI lady.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. Could I have entered a wrong code? This is the code they gave me. Now I have a bad code here.
Please re-enter your PIN number.
Why don't you continue with your demonstration, and I'll try and hack the phone system.
Okay.
All right.
Well, anyways, you would dial the NCS GETS access number, and you would enter in a PIN code, which you would have to be authorized to use through all kinds of stringent measures. There's actually a form on the website that you can print out, fill out, and fax back with the appropriate signatures of various spook agencies.
And everybody's going to be calling the same number.
Yeah, everybody calls this one main number to gain access to the network. You enter in a PIN code, and just like a long-distance company, you enter in the person you want to call.
All right, we're going to try this again. Okay, now I have to enter our special code. Here we go.
Please re-enter your PIN number now.
You know, I think they changed all our PIN numbers for some reason. Well, I can't get through.
Hmm.
You know what? I can get through. I know how to get through.
Ah, okay.
I can't tell you what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do it. Oh, you know what it is?
What's that?
It's not our PIN code. We don't have AT&T. This system does not work if you don't go through AT&T.
Really?
Yeah, I've noticed that. So, let me,
Actually, they claim in here that it should work with MCI, Sprint, or AT&T.
But what they claim and what is actually true are two different things. There we are.
There it is.
Okay, now we enter a five-digit code. Is that how it works?
No, actually, they don't say how many digits it is. That's left out.
They don't.
Please enter your destination number now.
Well, she wants a destination number. What do we give her? A phone number?
Yeah, the normal area code and phone number.
Okay, let's give her... What, is that one first?
Oh, they don't say. I don't think so.
Let's see if she likes that.
Please re-enter your PIN now.
Well, I didn't enter the PIN. That was destination number, but right. Okay, I'll enter the PIN now, which would be 12345. I believe is the good PIN.
Please re-enter your PIN now.
You see, that's what they do, because for security, they make you enter the same one twice.
Yeah, right.
It's like a double-check type of a thing. See? It'll go right through now.
The call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again. 2128T.
Now, is it significant that that went to 212?
Yeah.
Because these people are not in 212. They're in 710, which is God knows where.
Yeah, but we're in 212.
Okay.
And basically, the way it's supposed to work is that it would get routed with a special high priority over the local exchange or interlat exchange carrier.
Okay.
That you're nearest. So that in the event of an outage, then the your call would be given special priority.
So tell us more about the system.
Let's see.
You did read over this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, I read the whole thing.
So give us a summary of what's all about.
Trying to find if there's any other salient points to bring up.
Well, while you're looking for that,
okay.
Let me just read a warning that I got while I was browsing the web here. I wound up in the Defense Information Systems Agency. You can sort of hop around. I just sort of hopped over there. And I got this little page. It says, please read this. You are entering an official U.S. government system. This is an official U.S. government system for authorized use only. It's a web page. I mean, how can a web page be for authorized use only? It's open to everybody. There's no password or anything involved. I mean, am I going to break some kind of a law by entering into a web page I'm not supposed to be in? Do not discuss, enter, transfer, process, or transmit classified or sensitive national security information of greater sensitivity than that for which this system is authorized. What does that mean? What is that supposed to mean? Now, don't say anything that we wouldn't approve of if we don't want you to say that, because that's what the system is designed for. How do you know what the system is designed for? Use of the system constitutes consent to security testing and monitoring. Outside the page, throughout the rest of your life, what? You know, there's no rules here. Unauthorized use of this system or the information on this system could result in criminal prosecution. So I don't know if we've already done that tonight. we may have.
Is it like if you click on the wrong links?
Well, it's like they put the warning for logging into the system onto the web page, which I think is pretty silly because the web page is not a system. It's, you're using a computer, but you're not logged in. You're not accessing things that you're not supposed to see.
Well, according to the letter of the law, mm-hmm. every time you click on a link, you're modifying files on their system.
That is true. That is true. And you went to prison for that, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
Just the mere logging into a machine constitutes...
All right, I'll just shut up about it then. I won't make any more confessions. Anything else we should know about this? I think there's, like, several different categories of alertness.
The category... I was actually looking at the signaling and interoperability with the other networks.
Uh-huh.
It says that you can access GETS through your FTS 2000, that's the Federal Telecommunications System,
mm-hmm.
or DISN. Which is the Defense Information System Network. But you should note, for all you Autovan users out there,
mm-hmm.
your equipment is outdated.
Well, now, DISN. Who uses DISN?
That's the Department of Defense.
You realize DISN is ISDN all screwed up?
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
Well, now, okay, so who has DISN and who has the other one?
Well, just to give an example, when I was when I was being processed by the Secret Service, their telephones and all their post-it notes
mm-hmm.
for, like, leaving phone messages and so on.
Right.
There's, for every post-it note, there's three checkboxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for what phone number.
Rice,
what,
wheat, and...
No. It's for what network the phone number of the call was from.
Okay.
For example, if you call the Secret Service,
right.
then they would check off public switch telephone network.
Okay.
If somebody from the Capitol calls the Secret Service, they would check off FTS 2000. If somebody from an Air Force base called the Secret Service, they would check off the Autovan box.
What about normal people? What do they get?
The public switch telephone.
Public switch,
network,
okay.
Yeah.
So, wasn't there one other? It was DISN?
DISN was not listed on the Secret Service's post-it notes.
So what happens if somebody from there manages to call?
I guess they have to check off other and write DISN.
That's pretty amazing. So now, we can access the 710 thing now.
Right.
Which is the GETS... network.
Right.
Can we access anything else? If so, how would we do it?
It just seems like you access everything you always could, except with higher priority.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it says that you have enhanced routing, that it will route 710 calls to one of the three inter-exchange carriers. It says that AT&T has implemented an enhanced routing service for 710 calls in its network. And it goes on to say enhanced routing services for MCI Sprint and the local exchange carriers are under evaluation for benefits and cost effectiveness. So I guess at this point in time, it is only AT&T.
Interesting.
According to what they're saying.
And the idea is when there's some sort of an emergency, the rest of the people will just be knocked off the phone network and everything will go through this particular carrier? Is that the idea?
Well, I don't think people would necessarily get knocked off, but I would think that... Well, let's just say if there were two trunks left in the world,
right,
and somebody was on one of them, and you tried to get the other
mm-hmm.
at the same time that a GETS user tried, you wouldn't be able to place your call.
Interesting. And those GETS users, they probably would want to hog the bandwidth quite a bit.
Yeah, because, you know, you never know when there's going to be an emergency.
Speaking of bandwidth, can GETS handle data?
That's a very good question. I didn't see anything in here, although, hold on a second, because they do mention... They don't mention digital data, but they do mention that you can use a standard telephone, a STU-3 phone, which is a crypto phone, a facsimile, a modem, or cell phone.
Interesting. cell phone, I imagine it would be a scrambled cell phone, but then again, you never know.
You never know.
So that's the GETS system. 710 NCS GETS, and that's as much as we know about it. Again, give out the address for the webpage for people that might want to explore it a little bit, but be careful. You might click on the wrong thing and commit a crime.
Yeah, it's 164.117.223/tilde-n-pp/html/gets.htm.
Now, what's wrong with these people? Why, first of all, they have IP numbers instead of...
Maybe some kind soul out there can do some name service for these poor people.
Yeah.
They're only the government.
I think they should be a little more familiar with the way the net works, which doesn't seem to be doing too well for them right now. Speaking of things, first of all, a couple of regulatory things that I think people should know about. Number one, and I'm just going to mention this for a second because I'll give people a chance to look up more information throughout the course of the program. But did you know there's a motion picture? It's called the motion. Where is this? Here it is. The Motion Picture Patents Company. And you know, according to this company, it is illegal for you to produce your own film without getting permission from them. Did you know that? Or direct a film or anything like
really?
That? Yeah. Can you believe this? I wonder if anybody knows anything about this. I think people should look this up right away. The Motion Picture Patents Company. Scared me. But anyway, we'll get to that later. But the other thing that scared me this week was the iPhone situation. You heard about that?
No.
Various companies are kind of upset by this, as we knew they would be last year and we talked about it. Trade Association of Long-Distance Phone Service Carriers has asked the FCC to halt companies from selling software and hardware products that enable use of the Internet for long-distance voice services. In a statement from Washington, the America's Carriers Telecommunication Association says it submits that it is incumbent upon the FCC to exercise jurisdiction over the use of the Internet for unregulated interstate and international telecommunications service. Growing number of companies sell such software with hardware for transmitting and receiving voice over the net, which, says the statement, creates the ability to bypass local, long-distance, and international carriers and allows for calls to be made for virtually no cost. Well, I say that's great. You know, that if you can make a phone call for no cost, what is the problem? Apparently, these people are upset that they won't be able to make money off their particular businesses because people have figured out a way around them. I guess they'd outlaw conversation if they could. For example, adds the ACTA statement, online service providers generally charge users around $10 for 5 hours of access and then around $3 for each additional hour. 5 hours equals 300 minutes divided by $10 is 3.3 cents per minute. The average residential long-distance telephone call costs about 22 cents per minute or seven times as much. That's in their little world anyway. Long-distance and international telephone service carriers must be approved by the FCC to operate and must file tariffs before both the FCC and state public service commissions. ACTA says technology may once again be surpassing government's ability to control its proper use. I love that statement. That's a great quote. Technology is surpassing government's ability to control its proper use. However, the misuse of the Internet as a way to bypass the traditional means of obtaining long-distance service could result in a significant reduction of the Internet's ability to transport its ever-enlarging amount of data traffic. So, I don't know if that's a threat or what, but...
I say that's just less money in the man's pocket.
Yeah, that's something. We knew they'd get upset about it, but, I mean, they have to get with it, you know? iPhone is here to stay, and there'll be more programs like that. People will be using the net for all kinds of things, transmitting data.
What if we just wrote our own? What if they outlawed iPhone? We just wrote our own iPhone. Would they make it illegal for us to use iPhone?
They would make it illegal for you. Well, it's like the software Bernie S. got locked up for having, you know, even though he was responsible for writing it or for putting it out. Doesn't matter. It does something that they don't want you to do. In his case, make copies of cellular phone numbers. In our case, it would be allowing communication by voice over the net. They have no conception of how the technology works. They have no conception of what our goals and motives are. They just say, oh, this violates the tariff, this violates the law, therefore you must pay a penalty or go to prison. And that's just the way it is. So that's kind of an ominous development. I don't know if it's going to go anywhere, but it's something we should all be aware of, especially those of us who use those particular programs. I haven't used one in a while. Have you?
No.
They're kind of clumsy right now, but they're getting better.
Yeah.
They're getting much better, and the ones with pictures on them, they're really good.
Yeah.
And you can't say that, you know, the phone companies are providing picture phone service, because they're not.
No, that's true.
So you're getting there before they do. Okay, what else is going on? You hear this this latest development, which is kind of also ominous. Word that the government is actually running a lot of anonymous remailers.
I did read that, yeah.
What's this all about? Anonymous remailers, the things that you use so that the government doesn't see what you're sending over the internet. Now we're being told that the government is running them? What gives?
That sounds like entrapment to me.
Uh-huh.
You're expecting... Well, I guess there's no law protecting the rights of anonymous remailer users, but there should be.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, who is running these sites, and what are they doing with the information? Has that been established?
I haven't heard of anyone being prosecuted based on messages that they remailed through a government-run remailer.
Well, the only real case is the one that came out of Finland a while back, where a list of names was taken by the Church of Scientology and Interpol, and that was the first I had heard there was even a list of names being kept as to who uses the internet, who uses the anonymous remailer on the internet. This is something I think. Definitely deserves a bit more attention. Now, if you're using an anonymous remailer and the person who is running it is untrustable, does that ipso facto mean that everything that you've sent across is compromised or compromisable?
I would say yes. Uh-huh. Sure. The other thing that people should remember is that by default, probably better than 95% of every site on the net uses sendmail, and like lots of mail delivery agents, it logs all email transactions.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody even got their hands on email logs and were able to sort of, you know, match them up with, say, the email that was coming into the system,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, the email that's going out from the system,
mm-hmm.
is all in the same log.
Right.
If somebody pieced this together, they would be able to tell what mail coming in was anonymous remailed back out again.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's various traffic analysis that somebody could do, even if somebody is innocently running an anonymous remailer. If somebody gets their hands on super user privileges on their particular machine, and they get their hands on the sendmail logs, they can attempt to piece together who sent what mail.
They can also compare sizes of pieces of mail going out to sizes received by somebody else, perhaps.
Yeah, there's all sorts of traffic analysis that one can do if one has access to a particular machine.
Well, you know, I think the best way, if you really are into maintaining privacy and you know other people that are, is to use the same methods for everything, trivial and non-trivial as well. If you only encrypt and go through anonymous remailers on the important things, those are the only things that they're going to waste their time looking for. However, if you do it for everything that you send, you know, a one-line message just saying hi to somebody, A, they'll waste a lot of time trying to decrypt that if they are in fact doing this, and B, it just adds to the number of messages that they have to deal with and makes it, I guess, not worth their time. So that's my personal way of looking at it, because you never really have 100% trust in any system. It could be through incompetence, it could be through maliciousness, but somebody could mess up, and that's usually how people wind up being put in a lot of trouble they don't always deserve to be put in.
I guess, ironically, the safest anonymous remailer is the one that you run yourself.
That's true. That's true, but I guess you could only talk to yourself then, right?
Yeah.
All right. Dave Burstein, you're here. You have a special announcement for us? Which I think is the same announcement that we had last week, right? Except this one week closer now.
Oh, again and again, and we get a better announcement next week when you say, hey, we're heading down to the At Cafe next Tuesday the 19th.
Well, next Tuesday we'll say tonight, but tonight we'll say next Tuesday, right? We don't want to confuse the folks.
And they're going to be confused enough by me coming on Tuesday.
Well, they'd have to be to want to hang out with people like us, but yeah, okay, so next Tuesday.
If you want to hang out with people like Fiber and Emmanuel and probably half a dozen of the other folks who are here and will be joining us, showing what you can do with computers.
Uh-huh.
And I dare say some of these folks know a few things you can do with computers. We'll also have some basic sessions for those who don't want to see such involved and demanding things.
Okay.
All next Tuesday night, from 8:30 to midnight, the At Cafe on St. Mark's, voluntary donation to the BAI website, food and drink for sale. Come join us.
When you say voluntary donation to the BAI website, do you mean a web page or do you mean money?
Oh, we want lots of things donated to the website itself, but there's going to be a fishbowl there, say, if you can leave $10 to help pay for the BAA website. I want to get this show up on Real Audio.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get a whole pile of shows up on Real Audio. I don't have enough disk space to do it.
Yeah. Well, this show is up on FTP now. You know that, right? It's up on GSM format. You can download various editions of it. Hasn't been updated in a while, but also it goes back to the early shows of the early 90s.
You've got all the classics.
We've got everything, yeah, and it's all, you can hear it unfolding as it happened.
And we who fool around with computers at BAI want to share this with the rest of the folks at BAI. So we have the website, just go to WBAI.org and see what we've got there. And we want a lot more. Mm-hmm. We can use volunteers, too. So,
absolutely.
If you can come, let us know, because we want to know how many people are coming, just to make sure we've got room. So call here at 279-0707.
But where is the At Cafe, anyway?
The At Cafe is on St. Mark's Place.
Okay.
What's that, between 2nd and 3rd?
Beautiful downtown New York City.
Yes.
Okay, the one with all the buildings.
Yes.
Okay.
A pleasant place. Some of us have been there before and enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Call here and leave a message on extension 122 that you're coming, or just email me, daveb@escape.com. Let us know you're coming. If you want to contribute something to that night itself, you can do a presentation, whether it be your web page, your software, or something you've discovered. Also email me, daveb@escape.com, and we'll try to schedule some time for you.
Have you seen our website, the Secret Service page that we have?
No, I haven't.
You're afraid, aren't you? Well, well, you might be, but many people have looked at it. We've had 4,500 hits in the past few days. And all kinds of information about the Secret Service that they don't want you to know.
I have been told there are phenomenal things over there, but I was just told that about an hour ago, and I haven't been on since.
Oh, what's the delay, man? Get over to a terminal right away and get to the website.
No, get over to a terminal next Tuesday night, and in fact, all of that, some of the stuff that I suspect we'll be showing.
That's right. If you're too nervous to actually click onto the Secret Service page yourself, you can stand back and watch as other people do it. That's what we'll be doing next week, among other things. Okay, thanks for stopping by. You know, it's ironic, speaking of the Secret Service webpage, that, and we've said this, you know, on the page too, that because they were so upset about one person having information, now literally millions of people have access to that very same information. Power of the web, you know, power of the net, power in general in the hands of ordinary people. Okay, what, do you have something? Master Chemist has his hand raised. What do you have?
Oh, I was just saying. Power to the web.
Yeah. You have an article, not a slogan.
Little tidbits of information. America Online announced two major alliances yesterday with AT&T and Netscape Communications that were intended to help the world's largest online information service take fuller advantage of the Internet's growing popularity.
Wow. So,
just general information. America Online said it would offer the news services, discussion groups, and the information material from its own online service to customers of AT&T's WorldNet Internet Access Service at an unspecified discount. America Online also said yesterday that it would provide Netscape's popular Navigator software to its more than 5 million subscribers. Just thought I'd share.
Yeah, that's interesting news. Another alliance with two of the biggest corporate giants in the world.
And a little ISDN update, too.
I have
one here. Microsoft is also in the news. Again, surprisingly, announced that an ambitious alliance to promote the acceptance of something new here and use of the high-speed digital telephone service known as Integrated Services Digital Network. Oh, ISDN.
ISDN.
This service, which more than doubles the speed at which data can travel over phone systems, has been available in many parts of the country for years and is popular overseas. But its acceptance has been slowed in this country by the technical complexity, regulatory squabbles, and high costs.
No, 9X as well.
Oh, well, it gets into that here. ISDN is powerful and has lots of features. Let me highlight that. Hang on.
Who are you highlighting it for?
Well, you know, these are new things to me here. But it can be complex and frustrating to get ordered and installed, said Chris Fitzgerald, a program manager at Microsoft's Internet Platform and Tools Division.
Mm-hmm.
Phone companies ask customers questions like, how do you want your octets configured on your X25 D-Chain?
I was never asked that. How about you, Fiber? You ever asked how your octets?
No, I was never quite asked anything like that, no.
And the last part here releases to us the information that Microsoft also said it would collaborate with Progressive Networks Incorporated of Seattle on a new technical specification for delivering real-time audio and video over the Internet. and corporate computer networks. The proposed standard, called Active Movie Streaming Format, or AMSF for short, would allow people to publish a recording of a child's flute recital or an executive speech on the internet.
Those are the only two choices right now. Well, having access to neither one of those things, that's rather limiting, but I guess it shows promise for the future.
Getting
more and more complicated. Joko, what do you have?
Another sign of the apocalypse.
Wait a minute, where's your microphone? Try it now.
Another sign of the apocalypse. Have you seen Penthouse's issue this month?
No, I haven't.
Women
not
of the
copy.
Internet. Uh-huh. Is it Playboy? I don't know. I didn't read either of them, so I just saw it on the net. It's apparently a pictorial of women that are on the internet.
All right. Well, we'll have to check that out. That's sounds rather intriguing. Cable and Wireless sent me a letter this week.
Really?
The long-distance phone company that I happen to somehow be a customer of. They sent me a letter talking about intralata rates. You know, intralata. You can now choose
within
your
LATA.
You can choose your phone company within your LATA. I have no idea how you can tell what phone company you have for your intralata calls. There's no 700 number to call to check that out. But they sent me this letter, highlighted the headline rather, says select cable and wireless as your regional calling carrier and benefit with flat rates and a single bill. Well, you know, I called them, and I asked them about their flat rates. And, you know, their definition of flat rate is different from my definition of flat rate. Flat rate to me means pay one price. To them, it means 8 cents per minute. Now, I don't understand how 8 cents a minute is a flat rate. I guess it's like the
same. It's always 8 cents a minute.
It's always 8 cents a minute. But that's not the same thing as what a flat rate. Like the thing 9X offers now with their calling plan, where I'm paying $6 a month, and I'm making thousands of dollars worth of phone calls every month because I'm taking full advantage of this plan. That's a flat rate. But 8 cents a minute, I don't see that as a flat rate. So you got to be careful of these. And it took forever to find it out too. You can't just call them and ask them what the price is. You have to be transferred to a special person who has you in their file, and they tell you, man to man, what the price
is. Flat rate specialist.
It's pretty silly there. Okay, we're taking listener feedback now. 212-279-3400. If you have any kind of, I guess, questions or feedback or anything else. 212-279-3400 is our telephone number. We have not heard from Bernie S. Probably won't be hearing from him tonight. This motion picture patents company is really getting me upset. But we'll talk about that a little bit later. Imagine that, not being able to make your own films without permission of something. That's just one of the hazards of life in a free society, I guess. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
How you doing?
Hi, good evening. I had a question about the Communications Decency Act.
Yes?
This is a U.S. bill, right?
Yes.
So what about people in other countries who put, let's say, so-called indecent material on the web or on the internet? How will that affect them?
Well, that's a very good question. It's one of the points that people are bringing up when they say this bill doesn't make any sense, because the internet is not something that's confined to our borders. It's something international. So, yeah, we can be violating laws of other countries if they decide to regulate the entire internet, as many people will be violating our ridiculous laws when they say something or post something. So that's what you've touched upon, is the reason why the law cannot possibly work. Fiber?
Yeah, I think I could tell you exactly the way the government would deal with it. They would treat if somebody in the United States clicked on a website that was deemed as being indecent, that person would be charged with the importing of indecent material from overseas.
Well, so the person here would be charged. What about the person who started the whole thing overseas?
No, it's not illegal in their country.
Uh-huh. And we wouldn't try to silence them.
No, I don't. That's highly unlikely.
So somebody posts something that's indecent on the net,
right?
And we see it here.
Right.
We're going to get prosecuted.
Yeah, you're the one that's actually transferring the material.
Indecent. But what if we don't know we're doing it? What if we click on something that says
ignorance
is
no excuse?
But it's like a Mother Goose fairy tale or something. We're clicking on that and we're getting all this indecent language instead. We're going to be held responsible for this? I don't believe it. Well, we're up for some pretty trying times ahead. Thanks for the call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Emmanuel.
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to get an update on something you spoke about, I believe, a few weeks or a month ago, when you were talking about for 2600 your magazine, where you sort of canceled a contract with this company who you originally signed a contract for internet provider.
Right, PSI.
If they've, like, you know, taken up their threat and, like, sued you or had lawyers contact you, or what?
What's the status? What happened was they originally threatened to sue us, and then what we really did, which rankled them, was we printed the letter on the website that they sent to threaten us. And then the next thing we knew, they sent us a refund, and the whole thing was over.
You know, that's
cool. We had won, and the reason we had won was because so many people had seen it and had expressed their feelings about it, and, you know, they had done this all over the net, which was pretty cool, I think.
That's cool. Is there sort of a special section on the net, or do you think there will be for sort of those type cases, like, I don't know what you would call it, like an agitprop section on the net, to, like, you know, draw people's attention to the outrageousness of corporate America?
Well, I would hope so. You see, the thing is, when we put something like this up there, we have a lot of people that are always checking our website anyway. So naturally, that draws a lot of attention. And since we have sort of a reputation for putting outrageous things on there, you know, people tend to spread it around quite a bit. Once you get a reputation like that, you can start putting all kinds of interesting things on the website, and you're insured of many thousands of people visiting it.
Uh-huh.
So I would say to all those groups out there that want to get the word out, yeah, definitely, the web is one way of doing it. Just make sure that people know about it.
Two more brief things. I just came up with this idea. I'm planning how to use the extra room in my apartment once the person I'm living with leaves this planet, and I want to, you're one of the reasons you've inspired me to get into the net, and I thought, how about this as a concept, sort of like an exercise computer room, sort of like, you know, having all the computer hardware, but instead of sitting at a desk, sort of, you know, being at a stationary bicycle while using the keyboard, sort of killing two birds with one stone.
And you could sort of be, like, pulling hard drives and you know,
I don't know, well,
different sizes and things like that.
And even hooked up to some sort of virtual reality cycling Tour de France thing. I mean, it might be expensive, but it's something to look forward to.
Well, several people are already jotting this down, so I think you might have actually hit upon something.
Well, it's in the public domain. The last thing is, I want to publicize an event. My friend Louis the 14th was going to call in, but he's probably down in the...
You're friends with Louis the 14th, are you?
That's his name, also DJ Madcap.
Of course, that's his name, yes.
But he's probably, like, at some club of the Lower East Side, or he slept late or something.
Some of those French places downtown.
There's going to be some sort of... He has all the details. It's going to be at a club on the Lower East Side. There's going to be something in terms of live music on the Internet with video and live in real time. I don't know if anyone there knows about it, but it's going to be in some Lower East Side club, and it's, like, the big thing, but if you don't know about it, he'll probably try and call in and publicize it. It's like an underground thing, but it's going to be on, like, a major thing on the web. Any of you know about that?
I don't. Master Chemist does. What do you know?
I was just wondering, they're able to do those things now, right?
I'm sorry?
This can actually happen. This is not, like, a fictitious thing that's just not going to happen.
Oh, no, it's real. This is in the same way... In the same way that they're broadcasting, like, from ABC No Rio, they have their transmitter, and they're broadcasting 50 blocks of, you know, avant-garde art. This is going to be like jungle music. They're going to play over the net, and it's going to be with a digital video camera. But again, you know, my friend DJ Madcap, if he's listening at home, he'll call up and tell you. Okay, guys, stay well and keep out of jail. Bye.
Okay, thanks for calling. Yes, okay, always... Want to spread information around? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask Emmanuel about my remote phone.
You want to ask Emmanuel about your remote phone? Okay, go ahead. This is Emmanuel, and I'm listening.
Oh, hi, Emmanuel. You have a lot of courage. God bless you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I talk about, you know, important issues like this.
Yeah, I just added to my regular phone system
uh-huh.
a remote phone and got shocked when I had a bill with a lot of people using it. Of course, AT&T said, okay, they'll forgive me, but... I asked a lot of people. I'm getting different answers. One says that once it's in the base, it's locked in. No one can cross the line. Another says you have to completely get rid of it for a couple of months to see if anything happens. Could you advise me, how do I use a remote phone?
Well, by remote phone, you mean a cordless phone, right?
Cordless, and not get abused.
I think Fiber can help us with this.
Oh, one particular
recommendation. You're the owner of a remote phone, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, I'm the owner of a digital cordless phone.
Uh-huh.
With digital cordlesses tend to be a bit more secure. In your particular case, what people commonly do is drive around residential neighborhoods, and they'll have the same handset that you do.
Right.
And they'll go around attempting to pick the phone up and trying to get some other person's dial tone that they were within proximity of. They might pull up in front of someone's house and just drive around the neighborhood looking for dial tones, basically.
Now, the fact that it's in the base, would that stop that?
No, not at all.
Because I was told that my regular whole phone system would become radio frequency. In other words, if I use my regular kitchen phone on the wall and give out my credit card number, it's still going over the radio.
No, that's not true. It'd only be if you gave it out over your cordless phone.
Oh, I see. So how could I stop it being used when I'm not using a phone?
The only thing I can recommend that you do, unfortunately, is to get rid of that phone.
Okay.
And either not use a cordless at all, or consider getting a newer digital cordless phone.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Good luck.
Good luck. Bye bye.
That happens to all too many people, though, the problems with cordless phones. And, you know, plus the fact that your conversation is being broadcasted throughout the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to find somebody with a cordless phone. You just cruise around with a scanner until you hear them, and then you know that there's somebody there with a cordless phone who can figure out a way to get their dial tone.
Yep.
Not that hard. You ever have that happen to you?
No.
Not even once?
Nope. Can't say it's happened.
Really? Even on those old cordless phones?
I haven't used old
You've
cordless
phones.
You've
never had an old one?
No.
I've never had one, period, at all.
No. My first and last cordless phone is the one I have now, the digital cordless.
Mm-hmm.
Spread spectrum, okay. 900 megahertz, the whole deal.
No problems with that yet, huh?
No problems, no.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can work out for that. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry.
My AT&T annual report, which anyone, of course, can request by calling 800-3... 3488 ATT, and you don't have to be a shareholder. And it pointed out that AT&T Bell Laboratories, among all kinds of interesting information, will be split up with the coming split of AT&T. AT&T will get something that will be called just AT&T Laboratories, and the part to be called Lucent Technologies will get something that will be called just Bell Laboratories. So, anyway, I wanted to ask you this question. Let's see. Hypertext markup language is what the HTML stands for when you want to go to the web. What does the one that actually seems to be commoner, HTTP, stand for?
HTTP is the Hypertext Transfer Protocol.
Transfer protocol. Thank you. Was there one other thing I wanted to mention? I'm afraid. Yes. Last point. I'm afraid. Emmanuel was still didn't quite come down hard enough on cable and wireless. If you'll stop and think back, especially living out there on the razor sharp cutting edge between West Suffolk and East Suffolk, where you can get real flat rate service. What flat rate service always meant was you paid a modest few dollars a month for your phone service, and within your local calling area, all calls were then entirely free, right?
That's only because they didn't have message accounting in those areas yet, because they were so archaic.
Well, the years I was growing up, going back some decades, you could choose, in big cities, you could choose message rate service if you wanted, and for an additional dollar or two a month, you could have flat rate service, which was all calls free within a local calling area, which was bigger or smaller, depending on which area you lived in. Like from downtown Albany, it's still a 25-mile radius or 50-mile diameter from downtown Albany. If you have, let's say, residential flat rate service, you probably can't get business flat rate anymore, or not except for a very high price. But let me—I must ask: did when you talk to somebody, at Cable and Wireless, did they actually think there was anyone out there who could be fooled into thinking that 8 cents a minute for your local calls would be a competitively priced bargain?
It's a good point. I don't think they really checked to see what the cost was themselves.
And it said, you remember when AT&T and Time Warner went in as local carriers in Rochester, and I got the biggest tickle I ever got out of I forget about Time Warner, but AT&T said two reasons they couldn't make any money. Number one, the way I guess the Public Service Commission had priced it, Rochester Tel, the local company, was an independent, non-Bell local company, was allowed, who, by the way, are now same as some local and long-distance company, the way Sprint owns Centel. Well, Frontier, AllNet, long-distance, and Rochester Tel all seem to be the same company now. Anyway, first of all, it was priced so high for the local connection to the Rochester Tel central office for the charge to complete each call or make the in-going, outgoing connection each time. They could barely make a profit if they got a customer anyway. But the other thing was, and I got such a chuckle out of this, of AT&T, huge, big muscle company, being twitted by comparatively teensy little Rochester Tel. They said, they complained to, I guess, this Public Service Commission or whoever. This was in the Times, several months ago. They said whenever a customer called them or we called them and said this customer would like to have us, AT&T, as their local carrier, that Rochester Tel dragged their feet and had all kinds of excuses, or they just took forever to actually switch the customer over to AT&T. The only ones they would switch over promptly were the ones who had been so delinquent with their Rochester Tel phone bill that Rochester Tel had been about to cut them off for non-payment.
And they figured they'd just give it to another company as kind of retribution, I guess. Interesting. Thanks for the call. We're going to move on to somebody else. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello. Okay, I'm having a good time over there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Emmanuel?
Yes, how you doing?
Hi. I have a question. Recently, I made a long-distance call. I think 9X is my regional and AT&T is my long-distance.
Okay. That could very well be.
And, yeah. And before the call went through, a voice came on saying, World Path Communications. Have you ever heard of that?
World Path Communications. Now, this is when you made
Worldwide Communications.
Worldwide. Well, you were making what kind of a call?
A long distance call.
One plus or zero plus?
One.
And you got a recording afterwards?
Yeah.
That's not normal for you to get a recording after.
No, it was a one-time thing. It was so startling and out of the ordinary, I didn't know quite what to make of it.
Uh-huh.
It hasn't happened since. Worldwide Communications. It was a male voice.
Well, what I suggest you do to make sure your long-distance company is correct is to dial 1-700-555-4141 and see if that matches who you think it's supposed to be. And if it doesn't, then
you
could have some problems.
I get a pencil now. Could you run that one more time?
Yeah, 1-700-555-4141. There's no charge for that.
Right.
And that will tell you who your long-distance company is. Now, if it's not the company you want it to be, call that company and tell them to, that you never signed up for them, and B, call your local company and have them switch.
Okay, now the bills are coming through AT&T.
Okay, well then there shouldn't be a problem, but that does sound kind of, unless it was the number you were calling that answered with that for some reason, but it doesn't sound likely.
The party I was, calling,
mm-hmm.
But it was just an interrupt before the dial tone, I think. It said Worldwide Communications.
It could have been a fluke, but you never know.
Yeah.
But check just to make sure.
Okay.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Okay. All kinds of weirdness going on out there in the phone land. Good evening, you're on the air. Okay. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I want to know who I can complain to about my new phone bill.
Uh-huh.
I keep on hearing that beep. Is that...
Some idiot in the other studio keeps picking up all the phones. I'm sure that situation will be alleviated in a moment.
Oh, so when you said a cordless digital telephone, can you elaborate on that? Is that the 900 megahertz?
Fiber, what was that?
What's your question?
You said you had a digital cordless phone?
Yeah, I have a 900 megahertz spread spectrum digital cordless.
Okay. And I think that guy has a very old phone if he's getting all those other calls picked up on his cellular phone.
It's an old problem. It's not a cellular phone.
Yeah, it's
a cordless phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Cordless phone. Even the 25 channel. And he must live near an apartment house or something, because I know a lot of people live in apartment houses that have terrible problems with the cordless phones.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Right. And so would you know anything on the internet? There's something called Switchboard where you can get phone numbers?
There is a website where you can look up phone numbers, but nobody here seems to have the address. We're all pointing to each other. Nobody knows it.
Switchboard.com, I think.
Do you have the address?
I had the address.
Go ahead. Come up and tell us the address.
I'm not sure.
Oh, we have someone here who has the address.
Yes, you're correct. It's www.switchboard.com.
Right. www.switchboard.com.
Who's behind that? Do you know who's behind that?
Yeah. That I'm not sure of, but it works the same way as your white pages would.
Yeah, it's like those phone discs. Those CD-ROM discs they sell.
Right, exactly. I think it's someone who is who does sell those as well.
I heard a rumor that while it's free now, it's not going to be forever. They're going to figure out a way to charge you somehow on the web.
Right.
Okay.
But that guy was talking about the underground thing. I think he meant the internet cafe next week.
Not the internet cafe. The at cafe.
I mean, I'm
sorry. There's an internet cafe too. You got to be careful.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Right. I think that's what he meant next week.
Yes. Yeah, we know, because we're part of that.
Not live on the internet, right?
We're not live on the internet, no, but we are on the internet. If you FTP to ftp.2600.com, okay. And soon it'll be on our website, too. You can download some shows.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Okay, take care. And that's going to do it for us as far as that particular part of the show. But just to finish up with this, what I think is something we should all take note of, this motion picture patents company. Now, let me read you what this is all about. It was founded by a group of film producers and distributors that have pooled all their patents claims and formally assigned them to one entity, and they have proclaimed that nobody is entitled to produce, distribute, or exhibit films in the United States unless so licensed by that corporation. They also set a system of fees and royalties to be paid for the use of cameras, projectors, or any other motion picture equipment covered by their patents. And I guess about the only thing that really applies to this, which I guess I really should point out, is that this was dated 1910. That's right, 1910, when films were in their infancy. Yes, it's a while ago. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, it seems like quite a while ago.
Yeah, it's quite a while ago. When films were in their infancy, they decided to form this organization that basically would control everything, would prevent people from making their own films. The Patents Company launched a campaign of pressure and intimidation, at the end of which they bought out or drove out of business all but one of the largest film producers in the country, but everybody else was pretty much intimidated. That lasted until 1917, when finally the creative process overtook the corporate greed, and now we have the film industry as it is now. Same thing is going on with high technology and the internet and telephone companies and things like that. You'll see periods of pressure, you'll see intimidation tactics, and you'll see unreasonable claims being made. In the end, though, creativity will win, and we'll all be benefiting one way or another because of people, individuals like you and me, hopefully. We'll see where it goes, and we'll be back again next week with another edition of Off the Hook. Until then, take care. Write to us, send us email, oth@2600.com or 2600.net, our newest internet address. So, we'll see you next week, same time, and don't forget to show up at the At Cafe next Tuesday night at about this time, too. Good night.
Coming up now, it's 9 o'clock, is Housing Notebook.
Paint peeling off the wall, dirt piling in the hall, ice on the pipes, but no steam at all.